welcome to Let's Talk Diz, a show that gives you everything you need to know to help make your Disney vacation as magical as can be in just about 20 minutes. I'm your host, Jeff Coviello. With me each week is Disney Master Sandy from Easy Diz by Instant Impressions Travel Services. Sandy, how you doing today?
I am feeling enchanted.
Enchanted. Well, you are back from the West Coast where you went there to celebrate 100 years of the Walt Disney Company. And that's where the celebration begins, is on the West Coast. And I am very excited to hear what they had going on there and maybe what they have planned for some of the folks on the East Coast.
You bet. And I think you're probably tired of me saying this, Jeff, but for you and all of our listeners who have not made it out west to Disneyland, what are you waiting for?
Time.
I love it out there. I can't say enough. Celebration aside, I can't say enough about my love of Disneyland, my love for those that are looking for something more relaxed and shorter lines and close proximity. I was able to go back and forth during the day without a problem. My last day, I had that magic finger. I got myself in the virtual queue with a way better number than I thought I could get.
I saw that.
And I had to, the notification popped up. My original plan was I was going to stay in my room till 10:30, quarter to 11, right about up until checkout time on that last day, and then leave my stuff with Bell Services and head to the park. And at 8:04, when I got the text that I had 1 hour to go ride the ride, and I had not packed a single item yet, I quickly went with plan B, which was make a run for it, head into the park, all the way to the back, get on my virtual queue ride, leave the park and come back to my hotel, work and pack up later. And I could do that. I could run in just to do that one ride out my hotel, through security, through the park turnstile, and all the way to the back, and literally on the ride in 40 minutes.
Well, you've always said that that's the beauty of Disneyland, though. I mean, that's a common mantra from you.
It is. And I, you know, again, I am one of those corny people. It is where Walt walked. I can feel that. I look up at the light in his apartment. But again, if you're probably not listening to this, if you've never been to Disney, but if you're trying to get somebody to go as a first timer who doesn't want the lines and all those things that they hear that make them worry about Walt Disney World, Disneyland is the way to start. And doing it now during the 100th anniversary makes it even better.
So before we break down what's going on the West Coast, as you just said so eloquently, I guess give us some information as to when it will hit the East Coast in Walt Disney World.
So it's a little bit of a unique celebration. Jeff and I actually talked offline before we started, and we were trying to come up with, has there ever been a celebration that we can remember that was all about the company,
right?
Not the way that we celebrate Epcot's 40th and Walt Disney World's 50th. They're usually milestones within the park. Mm-hmm. And this one we really think is it. And so this 100th anniversary, you're kind of using that year 1923 and spreading it out. So while it started now in Disneyland, it will come to Walt Disney World in April, right after they close out their 50th anniversary. And it'll be interesting when I'm down there in April to compare how the two celebrations are the same and how they differ. I've obviously got some preconceived notions for you. We do know that the platinum celebration is kind of that silvery color, and it's all silvers and purple. And we've actually seen merchandise on the East Coast already. I actually bought some when I was there for Festival of the Arts already. So we'll see that carry over in the character costuming, in the banners, and all of those different things. And I'm sure in food and other things, but it'll be interesting how the two differ.
Okay, so starting in April. But let's break down the West Coast, because you were out there in California. I think you can't undersell where Walt walked. I think that's a big part of why we get this first in California. That's a complete speculation on my part. But my question to you, but as we start the show, is what was offered there on this particular celebration?
You know, I think it was really about that feeling, and I'll go to an East Coast celebration that I often try to block from my mind as I talk about the Pepto-Bismol birthday cake that they had in Magic Kingdom.
Why'd you do that? Why'd you do
this
that?
This one, you really got the feel everywhere, which I think was part of that uniqueness, again, because of the design at Disneyland. So when I checked in at my hotel, there was a 100th medallion right on the door. When I walked from Paradise Pier and through Grand California, and they had major bunting along the streets that was that purple and silver and more 100th icons spread out. As you walk through, it is still called Downtown Disney there. All the flagpoles with different 100th banners and celebrations specific to years, movies in the year that they were released, and really giving you some history on Disney. I think that was a big thing. Once you were inside the park, and I will say, short of merchandise and a display that I can think of, the real focus was definitely in Disneyland Park. The lobby area of Great Moments with Mr. Lincoln, there was huge bunting outside to celebrate the 100th. And when you went in, they redesigned that lobby to give you some history. You could see original sketches to Tiki Room and a model of Dumbo that they worked off of to make the Dumbo cars for the attraction. Lots of sketch work to see, to kind of see where has the park come in this 100 years, even though the park is clearly not 100 years old. It was also a little vignette with Walt's desk and some old paperwork of Walt. So that was really your history part.
Stuff for the geeks like you and I, essentially.
Yes.
Yeah.
The character makeover with their new costumes. We see new costumes for all kinds of celebrations, and this one was no exception. And the characters were out in full force in the morning. And then once a day, they had a cavalcade that was the 100th anniversary cavalcade. And again, I love Disneyland because of its size and what they're able to accomplish. They had this cavalcade that was 5 minutes long and had about 22 characters in it, and characters that you would never see together, that you'd be hard pressed to find in Walt Disney World. Alice was there with Mad Hatter. Genie and Aladdin were walking down the road together, and they're all in this tiny little space, a real great show element for everybody there.
Very cool.
They also brought in two new statues for the 100th to celebrate. One of Mickey, one of Minnie. I'll go all out and say I'm confused by the placement of them.
Okay, why?
One of them is in that central original hub, that flag garden. And then the second one, the one of Minnie, is off in a garden to the side just before you get to the castle. So just the two characters, I'm not sure kind of what was involved in picking them, but they were the only ones. No extras, not the way that we saw like the 50th and all of those characters. This was just two, but definitely unique and fun to see.
Okay. I know we did get an opening of an attraction too, right?
We did. Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway, which I bet you've all heard of it before.
We were talking about this, and you know, the question is, do we need to talk about it, or do we just direct everybody to episode 9, which amazed us when we were talking about it, that it was that long ago that we got it at Hollywood Studios. But yeah, we're looking at almost 3 years ago that we recorded that show.
Yeah, it was definitely that time in history for me.
Yeah.
And we've seen them do this before, where they take an attraction, they open it on more than one coast, maybe a U.S. park and an international park. Sometimes it's exactly the same. Sometimes it's small differences. I would say this one had a lot of differences if you're that true Disney-phile really looking at things. And it was interesting to me. I was fortunate in the 3 days that I was there, I did ride it 4 times. For those that are wondering, it is virtual queue or individual attraction only. And again, I think that's one of those things when we talk about the West Coast. I was looking earlier, and you know, it's 5 o'clock at night on the West Coast, and They still have the individual attraction available to purchase. It was only $15 today, so not that top of the line. And if you purchased it now, the return time was 15 minutes from now. So again, looking at how does that park make it easier to get around, that's definitely one of the things. But I wrote it so many times because you can just only take in so many details. And other things that I've said many times besides my love of Disneyland is my absolute admiration for the Imagineering team.
Sure.
They are so imaginative, no pun intended. The detail work they put in, you would probably have to ride any given attraction 20 to 30 times to see it all and probably have people point some things out to you. So I definitely wanted to ride it more than once. The virtual queue line is very different than the individual attraction. I would honestly say if you can get the individual attraction, if that's the only way you're going to ride it, don't miss the ride. But the virtual queue line is definitely where it's at. You get 100% of the history there versus probably 10% because that line is so much shorter. And one of the things that I noticed was that the costumes that the cast wore were different. And so I was talking to one of the cast members about it, and I said to her very innocently, I thought, I'm surprised to see you have different costumes than the East Coast. Well, clearly those were fighting words. Because this young woman said to me, we are a totally different themed attraction out here than our counterpart on the East. And I thought, okay, you don't know who you're talking to. I'll bite. Really? Tell me, how do you see it different? Because I thought the attraction is 98% the same. Well, the attraction may be the same, but we are extraordinarily different. On the East Coast, they're set in Grauman's Chinese Theater. Out here on the West, we are Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railroad in the Al Capitan Theater. And the Al Capitan is a very different feel than the Chinese Theater, and we are a different kind of queue, and we are more lighthearted than they are. And she went on and on. And again, the queues are drastically different, even though the ride is 98% the same. Sure. So it was very interesting to hear that passion for it. We have, if you hop over to the YouTube channel, a look through the queue, the entrance from the outside, day and night, comparing the two buildings, both stunning in their own way, but definitely neat to see.
Well, and that's the thing, right? Is when you're dealing with retrofitting an attraction into the Chinese Theater that we have at Hollywood Studios, it's very different than what they were able to do on the West Coast, starting from, you know, ground zero, essentially.
So one of the things that I love to do, because clearly I love to talk, is I will talk to lots of cast members, lots of guests, all at these attractions. This is why, you know, I can ride four times in 6 hours because sure. I'm just chatting away.
Right.
And so I'll ask cast members, what was your favorite part of the ride? What do you think? Do you know anything unique? And I will say there are two unique things to the West Coast version. One that is super unique that it did take me till that fourth ride to find, awesome. Even though it had been explained to me in the beginning.
Okay.
There is a Club 33 door hidden in Mickey and Minnie's on the West Coast. We'll have a picture up on our social channel this week, but just that as you're going through, you're just about halfway through the ride and there's a scene that's, you know, just a little town that anybody could be strolling down the sidewalk. And if you look very carefully, it's kind of like that Mr. Toad. You've got to look right away on the right because it is the first door. Your attention is really directed away from it. You've got to be looking for it to find that secret Club 33 door.
Now, purchasing the individual attraction doesn't get you admission to Club 33, though. That's not on the table, correct?
Sadly, it does not. Oh, or I would.
I thought we had the loophole, Sandy. I thought we were in. All right. What was the other hidden secret?
So I was told, and I'm going to disagree with this one slightly, that because this is the first ever Mickey attraction, they couldn't have hidden Mickeys because Mickey is all over. He's not hidden. I will say I found 5 hidden Mickeys within the first 3 scenes right after I was told that.
Right.
But they were telling me that instead they have a hidden crab in this attraction. And on the East Coast, you'll find him in each scene. His name is Mr. Krusty. Mm-hmm. On the West Coast, his name is Mr. Crustacean. Mm. And again, they're very serious about their crab. And you can find the little hidden crab kind of dancing through just about every scene. Again, if you don't know to look for him, you may not see him. Or you may see him once and he kind of blends right into the ocean. Because a lot of, if you haven't done Mickey and Minnie's, there's a large part where you are in the ocean. So to see a crab underwater isn't necessarily unique, but to know that that's kind of a little Imagineering sign is pretty cool.
All right, so let's move on from the attraction. Obviously, anytime they do a celebration, there are shows that are tied to what they've got. So talk to us about what kind of shows you saw while you were out there.
2 new nighttime shows, and again, I could have watched them 50 times each if they occurred more than once or twice a night.
Right.
Which also surprised me, because if you've been to California Adventure, you would think, how can they differentiate their show? World of Color kind of is what it is. It's a water display. It's done on California Screaming with the projection. How many variations can they have? But the answer is many, because we've seen multiple versions already. We've seen holiday versions. And this new one is called World of Color 1. And it's really to take you through all the different things that are Disney. And again, Jeff has brought this up many times. I would say the last 10 years, we've really seen Disney grow beyond what I call traditional Disney, past the Mickey and the Minnie cartoons, getting all of that new intellectual property. So whether you're an Encanto fan or a Lion King fan or a Star Wars fan or a Marvel fan, they've got something for everyone in this show. And I have to say, the Avengers scene in particular blew me away. Just special effects that I've never seen them use before, and really bringing you in a phenomenal musical score. You definitely don't want to miss it. But if I can't convince you to go to the West Coast, maybe I can convince you to head to our YouTube channel. I did record it for everybody.
It's just so much faster to go to the YouTube channel than it is to get on the plane and go to the West Coast. I'm sure it's a totally different experience, you know, but still.
You know, there's a few more things out there than we have on our YouTube channel, though.
That's fair. That's fair. Anything else for the shows?
In Disneyland, they have a new fireworks castle projection show, Wondrous Journeys. And again, they really worked on how to give us that Disney history using some music we've heard before and incredible musical talent creating these new scores that just pull you in. And, you know, you're all looking to go download that music now because it's amazing. I think one of the things that I really love about a lot of the castle shows that they've had in Disneyland is their main street is much shorter than Walt Disney World. And their castle is way, way shorter than right. Walt Disney World. And so they started years ago figuring out, how do we enhance this when we don't have the height? And what they created was a projection system that appears on all the stores going down Main Street. So you get that visual for that whole distance ending at the castle. I personally love to stand back closer to the train station instead of closer to the castle to take it all in. So lots of great nighttime things to see.
Merchandising, where the real money from the movie is made. Talk to us all about the merchandise. I'm sure you went out to the West Coast with a suitcase that was empty on the way there and very full on the way back in knowing who you are. What was the merchandise that we had to celebrate the 100th?
It came close to being an empty suitcase on the way back because I did not follow my number one rule, which is get it when you see it. Mm. And The lines, I will say, day one, because I was there the day the celebration kicked off, the lines for some of the merchandise was outrageous.
Yeah.
And I just decided, you know what? Tomorrow's another day. And they had, you know, the 100th shirts that I wanted. There were just three that I was going to buy. I had seen in many gift shops, both in the park, in their downtown Disney. And again, remember, walking out of the park and back to my hotel, you walk through downtown Disney. So I was like, no problem. I'll go into World of Disney. I'll get it. I'll get it in the dress shop. There were so many places. And when I went on day two, the things I wanted were sold out. I was pretty shocked. Thankfully, the majority of the things were restocked by day three. So, yeah, I do have a couple of things.
Now, you're talking the same color scheme that you talked about in the beginning, the purple and silver color scheme?
That's silver and purple. The purple does seem to vary. There's more of a lilac, and then there's a deep purple.
Okay.
Lots of sparkly stuff, special ears that were really shiny. They also came out with a totally new line of merchandise called Errors. And it was all about original Disney Studios, kind of what this celebration is about. Everything from jackets and shirts to your own Walt Disney Studios desk lamp that kind of lights up, to your own sketchboard. Lots of neat things to see. I will say the other thing, I learned something new about Disneyland that I didn't realize.
That doesn't happen every day.
You know, and where did I learn it of all places? In a gift shop. How bizarre. But when we had done an episode about the Disneyland Hotel, we talked about when that hotel was originally built, that the vision was that you would be able to come there and do everything. So not only did that hotel have what they called at the time a beauty salon that was intended to be your haircut place, but they had things like a dentist there.
Yep.
Well, right inside the Magic Kingdom, they had a Bank of America branch. And I always thought that the kind of the bank teller window that you see in the gift shop was a design feature. But it is from the original Bank of America. And one of the things that they did to honor this celebration is they opened the literal bank vault and had the 100th medallion there, a picture of Walt working at his desk, along with a paycheck, and really just that look into history, because normally the vault is not open. They had some great talking points. They were able to really give you history on the vault. And again, when you hear some of this history, that Bank of America, somehow, Walt convinced Bank of America to put a bank inside of a theme park. So if you wanted to do your banking, you had to have theme park admission. Go figure that one.
It's an e-ticket attraction to go banking, yes.
But then they took his input, so much so that they were giving me all the details on the design of this vault door, and Walt picked the vault door design. So, I mean, talk about that connection to companies. We talk now about different companies that sponsor things on either coast, but really, Walt had that way back when. And again, it just kind of blew my mind that a regular bank, I mean, sometimes you'll hear those things like about a credit union.
Sure, sure.
But Bank of America bought in to have a branch in Disneyland.
That's pretty cool.
I don't know. I wish I got to open an account there and still had that original bank book. How cool would that be?
That would be cool. All right. So let's talk about food, right? I know that we had talked a little bit about the food off air. There's not really much to say, right, about the food at this particular celebration.
So I guess I'll consider myself lucky, because sometimes I go a little crazy trying to fit in all the food things. Some of it, I'll be honest, just wasn't my taste. I don't need to have every new designed candy apple. Some of it, frankly, I just didn't understand. I felt like they were really reaching to try and get food items. I did try the old fashioned cream soda, which was a purpley frozen concoction. Concoction is a good word, and bless you all for trying.
Sure.
I only had a couple of the food things I really found, and I struggle. I'm going to report back when this moves to Walt Disney World and see what kind of difference we see in the food items. We've talked in the past, because Disneyland is literally in the middle of a city, that they have less restaurants than we have in Worlds, because people do walk right outside of Disneyland, and in a 3-minute walk, you can be at anything from Denny's to Panera to McDonald's.
Right.
That they have a lot less restaurants and a lot more of those food carts. And I think what we saw was a lot more what I call food merchandise. It wasn't for sale in the gift shop, but you could get online for the 100th anniversary thermostat tumbler, the 100th anniversary travel tumbler, the 100th anniversary Mickey sipper cup, the 100th anniversary Mickey straw clip, the 100th anniversary Cinderella premium popcorn bucket.
Right. So it's more about what it's served in rather than what the actual item is.
Yeah. There was a lot of that. And I have to say, especially on day one, there were a lot of long lines for it. Some of the lines I quite frankly don't understand. Here's my pro tip. Try using mobile order for anything you can. Yeah. A lot of this merchandise was available on mobile order. So order it early, lock in getting one for yourself, and pick it up with a very limited wait later.
All right. Well, we're coming to the end of the show. Is there anything else that we would like folks to know about this 100th anniversary of the company in Disneyland?
There is going to be a 100th coin set available. I will say it's kind of like press pennies, or they've done the 50th coins in Walt Disney World. The machines are pretty hard to find right now. There are not a lot of them. They also have not released all 100 coins yet. I don't know if that's on purpose or timing, but I have to say, I looked at them. They were cool. Maybe if you have a favorite character. I'm curious, if you're somebody who's got a whole set and this is your collector item, drop us a line. I'd love to hear about it. These are way more money than your press penny for 51 cents. These are $6 a medallion. Or 4 for $20. Huh. So that set of 100 plus the special collector's book is pretty costly. But again, a unique souvenir. We all have our own favorite thing that we leave the park with. And for some, this is it.
Well, I do thank you for taking the time to go out there. You know, whenever you celebrate something as incredibly historic as the Walt Disney Company, 100 years of something is almost impossible to encapsulate in one celebration. My expectation is we'll see some things rolled out in the East Coast that maybe you didn't see in the West Coast. Maybe we'll see some more stuff in the West Coast. Maybe it's a rolling expression of gratitude for all the wonderful things that this company has given us over 100 years. But I'm incredibly grateful that you took the time to go out there and share it with our listening audience. And I look forward to hearing more about what we might see in the East Coast throughout the rest of the year. Thanks for doing it.
Thanks for letting me share.
And that's a wrap this week on Let's Talk Diz. If anyone you know could benefit from this or any show, please share on your Facebook and Instagram for other folks to enjoy. And don't forget to reach out to the folks at Easy Diz by Instant Impressions Travel Services for any Disney destination planning. Make it a great week. And as always, keep making memories.